Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin, the podcast.
Last year, the Patriots were 12-4. This year, 6-9. No doubt a drop-off, but no doubt a lot of players look a whole lot different on that Patriots team this year. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. And you just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. Shea and Jordan Cornette here filling in this morning. Hope everyone's having a good morning so far. How you doing over there?
I'm doing good.
Okay.
Halfway through.
I feel like I got to check it. We like don't speak during breaks because we're both looking at notes and stuff.
I talk to you during the break.
Barely.
You just don't listen to me.
Barely. So I feel like this is my time to ask you, how are you?
I'm doing well. Ready to rock for these next 2 hours. Halftime. Make some adjustments like Mike Tomlin Steelers did versus the Colts.
That's right. Come out swinging in the second half.
Yeah,
I like
we
it.
Go.
We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests of Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin join us on the Goodyear Hotline. So the question heading into this season is who's going to benefit more this season from the divorce, quote unquote, which I feel uncomfortable saying, being that we're a married couple here. I don't know that I should use that term, but I'm going to. Would it be Belichick or would it be Brady? And it's a tired conversation, but it's a real one now that we're at the end of the rope for the 2020 season. Because if you look at the numbers and you look at the wins and losses, clearly you would look to Tom Brady to being the beneficiary of this divorce as opposed to Bill Belichick. However, who's got the staying power? That is the question at this point. And before we get into our opinions, here's Mina Kimes, ESPN NFL analyst on NFL Live yesterday saying, look, I don't think anyone could have fixed his Patriots team this year, not even Tom Brady. Take a listen.
People talk about Brady and that offense last year the same way they talk about Saturday Night Live. Like, it used to be so much better. No, it wasn't. It was bad last year, okay? Yes, in the past. I mean, he's the greatest quarterback of all time, in my opinion. In the past, it was good. But last year, they were just average. And we're talking about an AFC landscape where teams like the Titans, the Browns, the Colts, the Dolphins are all fighting for a wild card spot. All of those teams are better than the Patriots. So, yes, they would be better. Tom Brady is a better quarterback than Cam Newton. But this team is not good enough for him to overcome that.
Correct. Thank you, Mina. I agree with that wholeheartedly. This is not all on Cam Newton. We already talked about Cam Newton, though. We're going to shift the conversation to Bill Belichick. How quickly can he turn this thing around? In my opinion, Jay, I think that the Patriots can win a Super Bowl as early as next year.
Whoa.
I think if you figure out your quarterback position and your identity on the offensive side of the ball, you add some weapons, please, finally, to whoever is quarterbacking this team. I mean, lack of receivers was a conversation last year, leading into last year. This year continues on and on. You get your opt-outs back defensively. You shore up your offensive line and get healthy there and maybe bring in some depth. And then you've got Bill Belichick coaching your team. Yeah, no, I'm not going to ever rule out a Bill Belichick coach team. I get their division is getting better. The entire AFC seems like it's getting better. I understand all of that. But I will not give up on a Bill Belichick coach team because of one down year in multiple decades.
Yeah, all those boxes need to be checked, no question. But it starts with finding your quarterback. You've got to find a quarterback. And I'm glad you touched upon the AFC as a whole getting better. But let's focus in on that AFC East. And one of the phrases I always think about, especially in athletics, is all the great ones know when to walk away. Mm-hmm. You love to see the great ones walk away at the right time. And they always talk about Bill Belichick knows when to cut ties with aging guys at the right time before the drop-off hits his unit. Tom Brady hit Belichick with the Belichick. He looked at that roster and saw no opportunities for him to thrive with the targets.
I see what you're saying.
And he got the heck out of Dodge. He also probably looked around the AFC East and said, there's a lot of competition here. And he looked down there at that NFC South and saw, there was a lot of competition here, but this thing's about to open up. So Tom Brady went down there with a roster he knew he could win with and a division that he had some years of life that he could generate some wins in. And now look at the Patriots and look at the AFC East. There's got to be a lot to be done. There's a lot that needs to be done with this roster with the Patriots, no question. But those opt-outs and getting healthy go a long way. That's Josh Allen's division now. That's Buffalo's division.
Oh, you don't
now.
Have to tell me.
And let me go further. And after that, that's the Dolphins division next. I love Bill Belichick, and I have great respect for what New England's done. There's too many question marks at this point for me to comfortably say they can win a Super Bowl as early as next year. And I know you're not saying they're the front runner, but I don't think they can do it next year. I think they can be very competitive next year, a better team next year, a playoff team potentially, but that division is going to be brutal next year because the Jets – those two-win Jets are going to be better next year, too. The AFC East could really be a monster division and one of the better ones in football come next season. Tom Brady didn't have to deal with that when he was there. That wasn't the case. And now Tom Brady is going to be feasting in an NFC South. When as you look at the NFC South, who's going to be the quarterback for the Saints next year? Panthers are still rebuilding that thing with Matt Rhule. Who's going to be the quarterback for the Falcons next year? Is it definitely going to be Matty Ryan? They don't even have a coach for next year. Now Tom Brady has transferred from a nice little cozy setup in the AFC East that almost for surely set them up to win that division every year to now the NFC South and a comfortable position to win it for as long as he wants to play football. Bill Belichick has an uphill climb, but if anybody's built for it, it's Coach Bill Belichick.
Okay, I think I should be concerned because you are very much living in the right now at this very moment and forgetting where you came from, buddy. Okay, so let's remember something. Before this season started, you looked at that NFC South and you thought this could be quarterback South. Okay, you have Drew Brees, Matty Ryan, Teddy Bridgewater.
Who's not going to be in that division next year, maybe?
I let you go.
I'm sorry.
Okay, you had Drew Brees, Teddy Bridgewater, Matty Ryan. Going into this season, you had no idea that the Atlanta Falcons would come out and do the same thing they've done the past couple of seasons and lose, like, what was it, 8 of the first 9 games or whatever it was. You didn't know that they were going to do that. You thought they were going to be instantly better. They added Todd Gurley. Remember all the weapons we were talking about on the offensive side of the ball for the Falcons? You knew Drew Brees was going to be the quarterback for the Saints and how good they were with Michael Thomas and Alvin Kamara. You knew the Panthers would be okay considering they made a coaching change and they still have Christian McCaffrey as their running back. You didn't know he was going to get hurt. So the fact that you think that Tom Brady picked up and left New England like, I'm going to an easier division.
No, I didn't think that. I thought that was pure luck. I thought that part was pure luck. I was joking in that part. It's pure luck, but now it's set up to be that.
Sure.
Now it's set up to feel like those AFC East years where he feasted.
Sure. Fine, that's fair now. But I don't think that was his intention when he up and left New England to go to a quote-unquote easier division. Furthermore,
I do think he looked at the roster, though, Shay, and I did think that factored in. I do think that part.
Yeah, of course. You don't think he looked at the roster and was like, oh, I could have multiple receivers as opposed to none? Sign me up. Yeah, no, without a doubt. Furthermore, in the AFC East, yes, it's definitely getting better. We've already said that, okay? The Miami Dolphins haven't even secured a spot in the playoffs. I'm saying next year, you don't know if they're going to be able to secure a spot in the playoffs. I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm just saying you do not know that, okay?
He gave Coach Flores deservedly so Coach of the Year.
Brian Flores, I respect what he's doing with that Miami program. They are way ahead of schedule, okay? Bill Belichick could just as easily be competing with the likes of the Bills, the Dolphins, and the Jets next season the same way he has in years past if he gets everything right.
But what is the everything right? Look how many things you're talking about that have to come into fruition. You've got to find a quarterback. You've got to find a linebacker. You've got to find receivers. You've got to find a tight end.
You instantly got to find get an upgrade tackle. Without opt-out coming back. Instantly. Instantly
those
get an upgrade.
Those positions I mentioned aren't helped by opt-out.
Oh, hold on. And then whether it's Cam Newton or the field, you're going to have more time to work with the quarterback and adjust to a different kind of scheme than you ran with Tom Brady. Regardless of who it is, if it's Cam Newton, you'll adjust to his style. You'll run it more. You know his strengths and weaknesses, and you'll utilize that. I hope you get him some help. If it's a different quarterback, heck, maybe it's Jimmy Garoppolo. You're going to bring him in here, someone who's familiar with your system already, and play to his strengths. It's not going to be the same offense twice. You think Bill Belichick's going to make the same mistakes twice in a row?
I think it could be outside of his hands if it's not the right quarterback. All those people I mentioned are still calculated risks, keyword being risk. I do think Jameis Winston could work, but what if Jameis Winston doesn't work? That's beyond Bill Belichick. I do think Carson Wentz could work. I would go that path, but what if Carson Wentz is really, truly
that's
just
why he won't do
no
that.
Longer? Okay, maybe he doesn't. What if he goes with Jimmy G and Jimmy G just doesn't have it like he didn't with the 49ers, despite the fact that the system there? I think that would work.
The 49ers were just in the Super Bowl a year ago. Am I missing something?
My point is these other teams you're talking about are settled in an identity. There's an identity in Buffalo. There's an identity in Miami. New England's identity is now lost and needs to be regained. And it left with Tom Brady, and not only Tom Brady, but with how the cards fell after that, where the identity is Bill Belichick. But the Patriots' way isn't there currently. And now, as crazy as it is to say, the Patriots have to find an identity with teams in that AFC East that very comfortably have one currently.
I'll take Bill Belichick to fix the problem.
100%.
Any day of the week.
I'm with you there.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin is brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. It's never okay to drive stoned. If you feel different, you drive different, drive high, and get a DUI. Let's go from A to Z. NFL teams are eyeing Urban Meyer for head coach openings. At least two teams have reached out to Urban Meyer to gauge his interest in returning to coaching at the NFL level. That's according to Adam Schefter. A source connected to one of those teams tells ESPN that Meyer did not dismiss the overtures and intends to make a decision in the next week. Here's Cardale Jones yesterday on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on what it would take to get Urban Meyer back into the NFL.
I just had dinner with Coach Meyer this past Friday, and, you know, the questions kind of came up about back coaching and things like that. And not saying he said yes, not saying he said no, but I think for him to have success in the NFL, and I think he would agree with this comment that I'm going to make, he would have to have more of a role like a Bill O'Brien, with kind of the head coach and GM, so he can get his guys in there so he can, you know, do or along with him and the GM is on a pretty much the same wavelength when it comes to the identity of the team and the direction, because Coach Meyer is a big control guy, and he loves to have his blueprint and his footprint on almost any and everything it is with the program and organization. So I think if that right organization is willing to kind of give the keys to a guy who haven't had experience coaching at the NFL level, I think he can be successful.
Okay, so Cardale Jones talking about how he just had dinner with Urban Meyer, and what you and I drew as a conclusion is that this conversation came up. Cardale saying, look, Urban doesn't necessarily have to be the GM, but he has to have some kind of control in the NFL. And my response to that would be like, I totally get that, and that's fair if that's what you want, but Urban has not coached at the NFL level, not ever. So to want that kind of control for an organization or a system or an industry that you haven't been a part of yet seems a little bit far-fetched to me, even though he has won everywhere he's gone. However, there might be teams out there that are willing to take that risk.
I just think it's interesting, for so long we have heard it's not going to happen. He's not interested. It's clear he's now interested. And I feel pretty confident to say he's going to take one of these jobs out there, and it's going to be the one that gives him the most control. I mean, it's kind of wild to think that Bill O'Brien, as we know him to be now, he hadn't been a head coach in the NFL when he came in there with the Texans.
From Penn State, right?
He had been at Penn State. He had some experience in the league, but he came in there and won 9 games in 2014, 9-15, 9-16, bad, which fit 2015 and 2016, won the AFC South. Took a year off in 17, going 4-12, 11-5, winning the AFC South in 2018, 2019, 10-6. Again, first of the AFC South. So in those 8 years, and we'll remove this year because he left after 4 games, deservedly so. In 7 seasons, Bill O'Brien won the AFC South 4 times. So it shows that you can come in with no head coaching experience in the NFL and get this thing done. And if I look at a Bill O'Brien, I look at an Urban Meyer, I say, why not? And for Bill O'Brien, he was wearing the 2 hats and wearing them pretty well until he let ego and personal drama get in the way, and then showed utter ignorance letting D-Hop go to Arizona, which ultimately resulted in a loss of his job. I don't think Urban possesses that ego. I think he'd be a little bit more cerebral in his approach, and I think he's a better coach than Bill O'Brien. So I think the Texans, as funny as it sounds, should really consider giving Urban Meyer what he wants to take over that franchise, and depending on what kind of control that is, to a limit, allow that as well. And I can't believe I'm saying the Texans should give a coach both GM and coaching responsibilities with how that went this past year.
No way.
But if you're going to do it, Urban Meyer's the right person to do it for.
And the one team I would assume would not take this on would be the Houston Texans. First of all, I think they're getting Eric Bieniemy anyways. But that would be the one team I don't think that wants to endure the same kind of risk that they did with Bill O'Brien. Let me also remind you, Bill O'Brien didn't go to the Texans as the GM and the head coach. He went as the head coach. He became both much later on. He only was that, I believe, for 2 seasons.
True.
So this isn't something that he can just jump into. Again, Cardale wasn't saying that Urban Meyer has to be the GM. He just has to have a strong relationship with them or have some kind of control to feel comfortable. And that I understand. So it's more about upper management, who's hired, if he's hired first, and then he can help with that kind of hiring. But the one team I don't think that's going to give him total control, considering he doesn't have any NFL experience, would be Houston, in my opinion. Okay, let's go to college football. Alabama wide receiver Devontae Smith is named AP Player of the Year. Smith is the first wide receiver and first Alabama player to win the award since it was established in 1998. Smith finished ahead of his quarterback, Mac Jones, who came in second. It's the first time two teammates have finished 1-2 in the voting. Both Smith and Jones are finalists for the Heisman Trophy. Here's Greg McElroy on ESPN. He's our ESPN college football analyst on the Max Kellerman Show yesterday on why Devontae Smith is deserving of the Heisman.
There's one guy that is currently being considered that is in a league of his own amongst the players at his position. And it's hard, obviously, to win the award as a receiver, but I don't think we need to focus as much on the position that's played and the amount of touches that person may have. What's his impact on the game? And is he, in fact, the most outstanding player? And I think you can make a very strong argument, given the difficulty discerning between the quarterback candidates, that Devontae Smith is that player this year.
All right, that was Greg McElroy yesterday on the Max Kellerman Show. So Devontae Smith has done a lot for Alabama this year. In fact, you could argue that he has been the bright spot of the receiving corps, considering their other receiver went down very early on this season, and his numbers speak for themselves. In fact, if you look back to last year, he led Alabama's receivers despite having Jerry Jeudy, Henry Ruggs, etc., guys that all went to the draft. And then you compare those numbers when you had a full wide receiving corps to this year's numbers, and it blows them completely out of the water. Devontae Smith leads the nation in catches, receiving yards, and yards after catch. Give him the Heisman already.
And it's crazy to think, you know, if Jalen Waddle, the other wide receiver you mentioned, was out there playing, what this team would be doing. I mean, it's an embarrassment of riches for an Alabama team that has the five top vote-getters for Heisman nominees. Three of them were Alabama guys, two guys who have the best chance of winning it, although I think Trevor Lawrence should be in it. But given this result for the AP Player of the Year, going to Devontae, as well as Mac Jones being widely considered to be the guy who wins the Heisman, you got to believe that Alabama's got a pretty easy setup versus Notre Dame, which is something we'll talk about later on here in the show. But what a gifted offense this Alabama team has. Just going out there hanging 50 on anybody. Anybody can get it. I'd be curious to see if they're willing to give Devontae the Heisman Trophy. Only three wide receivers have ever won the trophy. You've had Johnny Rogers. You've had Tim Brown from Notre Dame. You've had our teammate and colleague here at ESPN in Desmond Howard. Be really curious to see if they'd usurp a guy like Mac Jones, who everybody feels like is going to get it, and give it to Devontae Smith. It'd be wild to see, but it just speaks to, oh yeah, Jalen Waddle got hurt this year, and this is still what this offense is doing, and this is what this wideout is doing. Nick Saban's doing things right down there in Alabama.
Without a doubt. So 17 players since 1998 have won both the AP Player of the Year and the Heisman Trophy Award. So it has been done. So will it be Devontae Smith this year? By the way, the College Football Playoff is on ESPN and ESPN Radio. Coverage begins on ESPN Radio at 3 p.m. Eastern on January 1st. It's the Rose Bowl presented by Capital One in Arlington, Texas. That's number one Alabama taking on number four Notre Dame. And then you got the All-State Sugar Bowl in New Orleans. That's number two Clemson taking on Ohio State. So let's look ahead to Alabama and Notre Dame. Jordan, you're over there. Oh, is that a Notre Dame? Yes, a Notre Dame zip up. I thought it was. Your microphone was blocking the Notre Dame.
Got some doggy hairs on it.
Yeah, that's okay. And are you I can't like sugarcoat this. Do you actually think you're going to win against Alabama?
I think it's
I don't know how else to put it. Like, Dominic,
I think it's asinine. And I think it's disrespectful to Notre Dame, this team this year, because that's what we're talking about, this team this year, to think is the number four team in the nation, that they don't have a chance in a college football playoff game. And to look at a rematch versus Clemson, when history has shown, when two AP top five teams, the last four times AP top five teams have met in a regular season, and in the instance where the winner of the game, it goes into a rematch, keep in mind, in these four instances in the AP top five matchups in the regular season, they've been won by one possession. And in the rematch, those four times, the winner has been the other team by 21-plus points. So that doesn't say to me that the AP team that lost, the AP top five team that lost the second time around, isn't good enough. It just says to me a rematch isn't an accurate way to decide what kind of team they are. Notre Dame going up against Clemson in a rematch with Trevor Lawrence then back, with the blueprint on how to beat Notre Dame, with history showing that's an incredibly difficult thing to do, shouldn't be the measuring stick given the fact that they got blown out in the ACC championship game. Nor should the measuring stick be in 2012, what happened to Notre Dame versus Alabama in the BCS championship game, nor should 2018 be a measuring stick. It's a different team, that being the semifinal loss to Clemson in the CFP. It's a different team. This is a team that understands what's at stake, despite what Brian Kelly says. It's got a very good defense. Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah is one of the best linebackers in the NFL. There's talent at every level on that defense. It's the most speed I've seen from Notre Dame. Is there more talent on Alabama? Absolutely. But is Brian Kelly the best coach in the history of Notre Dame? You could argue it. He's a few games away from surpassing Newt Rockne.
Yeah, okay. But
4 straight consecutive seasons of 10-plus wins. At Notre Dame, it's a very big deal. It's never been done. I know what Nick Saban and Alabama bring. But if you can control clock, if Ian Book can be opportunistic in the plays when called upon to make them, because that offensive line is as good as any in the nation, Kyren Williams is as talented at the running back position as any. If they can get a couple things going, control clock, time possession, how Notre Dame likes to win games, be opportunistic with Ian Book, and then the defense gets some takeaways, which is always a recipe to success, in an upset, absolutely they've got a chance.
All right. Talk
absolutely
to him.
Absolutely they've got
True
a chance.
True Domer over
but
there.
But why is everybody just going out here and saying, 20-plus?
All right, don't get mad about it. Like, you're disrespectful.
I understand, but
it's the narrative.
Respect
okay?
the team that's in the college football playoffs.
Come on.
Semis.
Let's not be so serious.
They're a Final Four team. Let's respect the Final Four team.
Okay.
I'm not going to get up on this microphone and say, yeah, they're going to get blown out. I respect absolutely everything about Alabama. You'd be nuts not to. But I've watched Notre Dame week in and week out, and this is a special team. And that's going to be a competitive game.
Okay.
Notre Dame will have a chance to win that game.
I hope you're right, for both Notre Dame's sake and also for my sake, because I don't need a crabby husband walking around for a few days.
I'm just asking for respect. That's all.
Okay.
Just give us some respect in the game.
Okay, babe. We're getting there, okay? That's why I asked you to state your case.
I'm not gonna bash Notre Dame and talk blowout on these airwaves. You know your husband better than that.
That's fair.
Call me a homer if y'all want to. Alabama is great. Notre Dame's very good. Can very good be better than great on that day on come Friday on January 1st. 2020 and all that negativity is in the rear view. It's a new start to a new year.
Talk to him.
Why can't Notre Dame do something ridiculous
Talk to him.
On 2021?
Here's what's not going to happen.
The first day of it.
We are not, and I repeat not, hanging up that play like a champion sign in our house again.
Yeah.
He makeshifted a play like a champion sign out of a cardboard. What are those poster boards? Like what you used in grade school to do projects with a Sharpie and hung it above our staircase and hit it on the way
And what
out.
Happened? Notre Dame beat Clemson.
It was before they beat Clemson the first time. And he saved the poster board. It's in our basement. And he's like, well, what if we bring it back out for the CFP? I'm like, no, I'm not having tape
not
ripped
what
off
if.
The wall.
Yo, I'm definitely bringing back that sign.
It rips the paint off the wall. It looks ridiculous.
Got us a dub.
Oh, my God.
Got us a dub. Let me tell you what. If Notre Dame does beat Alabama, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Tubin will have returned because that'll be a Friday game. They will be back on that Monday. I know a lot of you will be rejoicing. Hell, so will me and Shay. We won't be waking up early.
Yeah, really.
The A-team will be back. Please believe, Keyshawn, I will be calling into the show, and I will be showing my black behind that day. You can believe that, my friend. If Notre Dame gets it done, watch out.
Okay. We wanted to get into Clemson, Ohio State, and we will do that next. But also, why should we expect Notre Dame to perform differently against Alabama than they did against Clemson? We'll figure that out next. You're listening to ESPN Radio.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN. We are Shay and Jordan Cornette filling in, and all guests appear via the Goodyear hotline, and that's where we're going right now because we're joined by former Washington and Notre Dame quarterback, Super Bowl champion, 1983 NFL MVP. You can go down the list of his accolades.
Legend.
His name is Joe Theismann. Good morning to you, Joe. Thanks for being with us. Let's start.
Good morning, Shay.
Good morning. Let's start with the Washington football team here because that has been – the headline story, it feels like, over the last couple of weeks, and I know how dialed you are in with the Washington football team. What was your reaction to Ron Rivera's decision to release Dwayne Haskins?
I felt like that it probably would have come a week earlier had Alex Smith been able to go against Carolina. I think Ron was in a situation where he had basically Taylor Heinicke, and then he had Dwayne Haskins, and Dwayne had played, Taylor had not, and I think he just went with what he needed to at that particular time. I feel like Alex is probably going to be ready to go, and he put Dwayne out there, I think, hoping that he could get the job done, and it just didn't work out.
Joe, where do you think the Washington football team is going to go in terms of quarterback? Because ultimately that dictates the future of the franchise.
I think you have to look, Jordan. I mean, you really do. I think you have to look at this draft. If you look around at free agents, it's just a recycling of people. You look at some of the names that have been bannered around, like Matt Ryan, Matthew Stafford. You're talking, cap numbers upwards of $30 million, which I don't think serves the Washington football team well. I would believe if Alex is healthy, he'll start next year as the starting quarterback. But I still think you're going to have to look for some help in that area in the draft going forward in 2021.
Talking to Joe Theismann right now. Okay, so Joe, we don't know yet if Alex Smith is going to be able to go on Sunday in a must-win game for the Washington football team. If it is Taylor Heinicke that has to start under center, I know you haven't seen a lot out of him, but is he capable of leading this team to a W?
Well, I believe he is, because it isn't just the quarterback. We get all focused so much on that one position and saying it's like, it's Taylor Heinicke against the Philadelphia Eagles or against Jalen Hurst. Really isn't. This team's driven by their defense, and their defense is what really keeps them in games. It's what's won football games. A couple of weeks ago, the offense didn't score. The defense scored twice. I still think it's the shoulders. They have to handle the burden of responsibility in this game. Taylor, what I saw in a brief stint against Carolina at the end of that game was him run the offense very similar to the way Alex ran the offense. Mm-hmm. He was in Carolina. Scott Turner, the offensive coordinator, has somewhat of a familiarity with him. And I thought he was efficient getting the ball out of his hand. And one of the areas that people haven't talked about this Washington football team is the offensive line. And they got Antonio Gibson back as a running back. So it's a more complete team going in against Philadelphia this weekend. And oddly enough, it is the last game on Sunday before everything shakes out and we look at the playoffs. Mm-hmm.
Joe, I know you love Washington. Washington loves you. But me being a Notre Dame alum, I know how much Notre Dame loves you, and you love Notre Dame. One of the greatest put on the uniform you are. Joe, I'm having a hard time. I live with a Hoosier. My wife's an IU grad, so she, too, is trying to stain Notre Dame and what they can do here in this postseason, like the rest of the country. We are nearly 20-point underdogs to a great Alabama team. Do you feel like we're getting disrespected? Is it warranted? How do you feel about what lies ahead on Friday?
I think the spread is a reflection of what happened last week against Clemson. Mm-hmm. That's really what it is. But if you analyze the Clemson game, we had one bad quarter. You look at the second half of that football game, Notre Dame played them toe-to-toe. And I listened to you pontificate here just a little while ago, and I'm with you. I mean, it's a degree of disrespect. Hey, no disrespect to Alabama. They've been number one. They've won championships. You're right, they're a great football team. But Notre Dame has risen to the occasion various times before in its history. I don't see any reason why that can't happen again. Is it going to be a tough road? Will we have to play darn near a perfect football game? Probably. But you talked about our defense. I agree with you. Unfortunately, and fortunately for me, again, the Clemson game, Ryan Harris, who does our Notre Dame radio football, he had COVID last week. So I got a call on Thursday night to see if I would be interested in doing radio with Paul Burmeister on the Notre Dame Clemson game. So I've seen Notre Dame up close and personal. I broadcast the game last weekend. And for me, there were aspects of that game where it just got away from us. If we get in the red zone, you can't trade Alabama touchdown for field goals. Mm-hmm. You need to put touchdowns up because you got to figure they probably will. Our defense is better than I think most people give it credit for. And yes, we do deserve to be part of the four teams playing for the championship. But I think it's going to be a tough road, but I think it can be done. Hey, that's why I'll use the old adage. That's why we play the game. Isn't he going to hand something to Notre Dame or to Alabama or Clemson?
That's what I'm talking about. Seven. Let's go, Joe. Tell my wife. She's a non-believer over here.
Me and you, George.
All right, now.
Me and you.
We're talking to Joe Theismann. Okay, so in that same vein, earlier this week, Joe, we did hear Brian Kelly say that they have nothing to prove. Notre Dame has nothing to prove in this game against Alabama. I think those on the outside of the Notre Dame bubble, like myself, might say otherwise, considering it has been a minute since Notre Dame beat a top team in a CFP game or in a BCS bowl game. So when you hear Brian Kelly say things like that, yeah, what's your reaction?
Shay, you're an objective journalist, and I appreciate that. Jordan and I, we're vested in this, okay? We're more than vested, all right? We're in. We're all in. I mean, I'm sitting at the card table, and I'm going all in. Even though the odds may not look that great, I think Brian's saying exactly the things that he needs to say to keep his football team level-headed. It's not like we're going to beat Alabama or, oh, my gosh, poor us. He's focusing on the fact that, hey, look, we deserve to be there. We are there. Now that we're here.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.
Give us a little respect. Give us a chance to be able to go out and play the game. Let's at least play the game and analyze it after it's over and then make an assessment. But I believe Notre Dame deserved to be there. I mean, there was one quarter against Clemson, and it happened in 2018, too, down in Dallas when they played Clemson. That one quarter, the second quarter, got away from them. And all of a sudden change the complexion of the game. That's the one thing that this football team has to avoid is a bad quarter. And believe me, and I believe Devontae, I would love to see Devontae win the Heisman Trophy. Just like I think that Devontae Adams of the Green Bay Packers could and wind up being the MVP. It's going to be between Aaron Rodgers and him, in my opinion.
Wow.
I think that, you know, why not a wide receiver? And, you know, like you said before, Timmy won it. And they're impactful people, but we focus so much now on the quarterback position. Yeah. I think it would make a lot of sense, and it would be a fair choice.
That's an
and
MVP.
It wouldn't be slighting anyone either.
That's an MVP quarterback saying give it to a wide
give
receiver.
A wide
I like
receiver.
That. I like
right,
that.
Joe, I do have to let you go. Before I let you go, do you think I should let my husband hang a makeshift Play Like a Champion sign up in our house? Makeshift, made out of poster board and marker.
I think you ought to let him hang up at least two, depending upon where you want to walk.
Joe, I've talked to Joe
go
several
Irish,
times.
Brother.
I thought at one point he'd take my side. No good. Joe Theismann, thanks so much for the time this morning. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you soon. Happy New Year.
Thanks, everybody. Happy New Year. Stay safe. Bye-bye.
The College Football Playoff is on ESPN and ESPN Radio. Coverage begins on ESPN Radio at 3 o'clock Eastern on January 1st. It's the Rose Bowl presented by Capital One and from Arlington, Texas. And then it's number one Alabama against number four Notre Dame. And then the All-State Sugar Bowl is in New Orleans. That's number two Clemson against number three Ohio State. Coming up, we fill in the blank. You were a kid. Oh, give me two purse. I still love this song. Now my husband wears Air Force Ones and stomps around my house all day. It's too real now. Anyways, did you ever play Mad Libs as a kid, Jay?
Yeah, I did. Like, I know, I see where you're going with this. Yeah, I did.
You played Mad Libs?
Yeah, like you fill in the blank stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but it was called Mad Libs back in the day.
Yes.
And I used to have a book of it, and it was like all different kind of categories. Well, this is exciting because this is like the sports Mad Libs. Too excited. I know it's only like 8 a.m., but that's okay. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN Radio. All guests appear via the Goodyear hotline. My name is Shea Cornett. He is Jordan Cornett. We're filling in for the guys this morning. We're going to play a little fill in the blank. So, do you want to go first or you want me to give my answers first? How do you want this to work?
Ladies, as in the love of my life, goes first. So I'll read them and you can fill in the blank.
Oh, that's lovely. We'll switch roles here. Go for it. Role play.
Yeah, you're into that, aren't you?
Yeah, sometimes. All right.
The blank are... I went from 0 to 100. The blank are the worst matchup for the Chiefs.
Okay, there's a couple here. Let's go in the AFC first.
No. That's not how fill in the blank works. One.
Why can't I do one, two?
Can she do that? That's not allowed, right?
Why?
Pat Costello and James Steele say no.
But like...
No.
Fine, the Bills.
No. All right, here we go.
The Bills.
The blank are the worst matchup for the Chiefs.
The Bills are the worst matchup for the Chiefs. They can go toe-to-toe to them as far as putting up points. I think their quarterback, Josh Allen, is playing better right now than Patrick Mahomes. I think their defense is playing at a higher clip, and I think they have a solid run game that they can lean on. Whereas Kansas City doesn't have Clyde Edwards-Helaire right now. And they've got some holes, and they are vulnerable. So give me the Bills.
We got to rip through a few here. So let's be a little bit tighter.
What about you?
It's a great answer. I'm going Packers for everything that you said, being able to put up points. Aaron Rodgers is a better version of Josh Allen. History is on his side. The resume speaks for itself. He's done it in the postseason. He's won a Super Bowl. He's been a Super Bowl MVP. He's been an MVP multiple times over in this league, and they've got the better defense. So the Packers, like the Bills, except more enhanced as the worst matchup for the Chiefs. Blank. Shea will win the NFC East.
Washington football team. The easiest path, all they got to do is win and beat a Philadelphia Eagles team that's not going to rush any guys back who have been injured or are banged up and can't play. I know you have Taylor Heineke as the starting quarterback. He just has to not turn the ball over and be a capable quarterback in this one. I think he can do it. Whereas the other two teams who are in the running, in the Giants and the Dallas Cowboys, need to win and also have the Washington football team lose. Too much to go on there. Give me the Washington football team.
Logic in your favor because all they have to do is control their own destiny and win the game, except all they have to do is do it with the quarterback you mentioned in Taylor Heineke. And, oh, by the way, it's a playoff-like atmosphere. It's win and you're in, which immediately says playoff pressure. Pressure bust pipes. Taylor Heineke ain't built for this. You say he's going to go out there and not make mistakes. That's a lot to ask in a position that is mistake-prone for somebody who's not up to the job. I think he makes the mistakes. I think the Eagles capitalize. I think the Eagles beat the Washington football team. Dallas goes and beats the Giants. Wow. And all those chips that I threw in around Thanksgiving on Dallas pay off with that futures play.
You better hope so, honey. You better hope so.
Although this is what usually happens for Dallas. They get all excited, think something is in their hands, mm-hmm. within their reach, and they choke.
Correct.
Blank will be the Jets quarterback next season.
Sam Darnold.
Let's go.
Hey, Arnold. Hey, Darnold. That's what it's going to be. It's going to be. Did you ever watch Hey Arnold?
Just answer the question.
Okay. Why aren't you being conversational?
Because we got about 3.5 minutes.
Okay,
to rip
fine. It's going to be Sam Darnold. At this point, they're not going to get Trevor Lawrence. So you build around Sam Darnold. It's a logical explanation for what the Jets should do next year. They're going to get a new head coach. They're going to get a new offensive coordinator, and they're going to help their quarterback out for the future. It's Sam Darnold.
And you can either build your offensive line with that number two pick, getting Sewell from Oregon, or you can get one of these playmakers on the perimeter to add to boost a guy like Sam Darnold's opportunities there, or you can trade the number two pick for a haul and improve your team all over the place. But Sam Darnold, absolutely the option. Justin Fields will be drafted by blank in the 2021 draft.
Do I go Atlanta or do I go Detroit? I'm going to go with Atlanta. I know Matty Ryan still has a year left on his contract, but offensively, they just have not been right, especially out of the gates. Atlanta definitely is going to do a retooling of their entire team, obviously their coaching staff and their GM. So I'm going to think that the Atlanta Falcons take Justin Fields. Maybe he learns under Matty Ryan for a little bit, and it's kind of like a Tua situation. They answer him later on.
Something Fields is dropping there, and that could be Zach Wilson taken there. Inevitably, the Falcons will take a quarterback. You're not moving Matty Ryan next season. Too much dead cap space. Right. It'll be about $49 million. Nobody's going to do that. So it sets up beautifully for whether it's Wilson or Fields to come in there and learn from Matty Ryan for a year. Kind of learn the tricks of the trade, go out there, and then ball the next season. I think it's going to be Justin Fields, too. He's not going to drop like people think he is. I also think he's going to play really well up against Clemson, and his draft stock is going to rise, not fall any further. Blank and blank will play in the national championship, Shea. College football, CFP.
Alabama and Clemson. Do I need to keep going? I'm sorry. I love you. I love your affinity for your school. I think Ohio State is a Big Ten school. I'm a Big Ten girl. I love them too. It's Alabama and Clemson. I'm not going to go any further.
You ready for it?
Go ahead. Oh, don't sing the song. Please don't do it.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
You know, my other job here under the ESPN umbrella, I work for the ACC Network.
You do.
It's going to be a banner day on January 11th for the ACC Network and for the ACC as a whole. Known as a basketball conference, it's going to feel like a football one here in 2020 to 2021 when the national championship game is played. Because it's Clemson and it's Notre Dame in the chip. Let's go. And if you thought I was going to say anything else, then you don't know me.
You're going for a third time around? Oh, stop. Stop. Stop it! Stop.
Go Irish. Beat Bama. That's right. Clemson, Notre Dame, the remix volume 3, the real deal on the line for a championship. Notre Dame upsets Bama. Clemson rolls past Ohio State, and then we'll see what happens in the chip. I don't have to predict that here. Blank is the NFL Coach of the Year.
Brian Flores is the Coach of the Year for a lot of reasons. He's doing things untraditionally, and I love a coach that can adapt and adjust in 2020 when all things are going 100 different miles an hour, and that is exactly what Brian Flores is doing. He has a quarterback room that understands one another and is working together. Brian Flores is your Coach of the Year.
Sean McDermott is my Coach of the Year. It's a close second there with Brian Flores. I'd love to give it to him. I'm going Sean McDermott. Quickly, who will be the NBA MVP this season?
Kevin Durant. He's averaging just under 27 points a game so far this year. Kevin Durant and the Nets.
I love you so much. We agree absolutely on this one. Kevin Durant is back in the building. Great for the Nets. Great for the NBA. Good for me. I enjoy watching him. He is a unique. He's a unicorn. You didn't see anything like him. It's good to have him back. He's going to be balling alongside Kyrie Irving. Spencer Dinwiddie goes down. They don't have the depth that they typically do. It's all good. KD's there.
Should the Steelers start Big Ben in Week 17? Well, they're not. That's next.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, or wherever you stream your audio.